Well, conduct will come to order. Today is Monday, April 27th, 2015. Welcome, everyone. I just wanted to start out with a little bit about what's in your packet and a little bit about our procedural proposal for today. So last week I mailed a letter to everyone talking about the that this hearing will be on preliminary procedural matters relating to the complaint, and that's all we're going to deal with tonight. I wanted to comment that both the complainant and the complainer, whatever that's called, have the right to appear with counsel, and I note that Senator Hayden's, Mr. Nowen's counsel is present. And also in your packet is the a copy of the rules for the Subcommittee on Ethical Conduct and the complaint from September 24th, 2014, and the more recent complaint from April 13th, 2014, and some exhibits that were attached to the April 13th, 2015. Sorry, the date on that is wrong on the letter I received. 2015, some exhibits that were attached. The let's start with on explanation. Is there any questions from anybody for now? Then let's Senator Ingebrigtsen.
And my question is with regards to your letter for today, it's not real clear. Are we going to be addressing the actual complaint that was forwarded in reference to the April 13th letter?
Yes, we're going to be talking about the two complaints, the original complaint and the second complaint. It appears that, and I'm waiting for Senator Hand to tell me, that there's nothing new in the second complaint. It's just more further detail provided. So we need to really talk more about, is this the proper procedure to have a second complaint, or perhaps the first complaint should have been amended? And so that's what I really want to talk about today. And to give us some background, I'm going to ask the council then to talk about the status of the first and the second complaints.
Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair and members, the current complaint, as you noted, was submitted by Senators Hand, Thompson, and Benson on April 13th of this year. Previously, on September 24th of last year, Senators Hand, Thompson, Paul, Pratt, Benson, and Chamberlain submitted a complaint regarding Senator Hayden's conduct. Hearings on that complaint were held on October 22nd and November 5th of last year. At the conclusion of the November 5th hearing, the subcommittee at that time voted to defer further action on the complaint until the investigation of Community Action Minneapolis by the Department of Commerce was completed, and to reconvene the subcommittee within 30 days after being notified the investigation had been completed. I am also aware, Madam Chair, that you have sent a letter dated November 14th to the Department of 2014 to the Department of Commerce with the instruction to inform you about the completion of the investigation. And in conversations with you, I've gathered you have not received any information from the Department of Commerce about that. That's okay. Where the first complaint sits to date, Madam Chair.
And did you want to talk to me about the second complaint at all, or is that enough for now?
Well, Madam Chair, the second complaint has been submitted on April 13th, and I think the committee has information in the packet that you've supplied, vis-a-vis the letter about today's hearing.
Okay. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
So, Madam Chair, so we've been, since November 14th, your letter going to the Department of Commerce would be Commissioner, I believe, Rothman. So there's been no response at all, no movement towards that, responding to your letter?
We have not heard officially the status of their investigation. I did kind of hear informally through counsel that they were about to submit the bid for doing the independent audit. And just coincidentally, Senator Rothman, I have a meeting with him in my office tomorrow, probably about his confirmation, and plan to bring up the issue. But I have not heard anything official from him. Senator Lori.
Maybe you could communicate with the whole committee of the nature of the conversation when you ask him about that as well. I think that's something we'd all be interested in
I'd be happy to do that.
Timing on that.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, thank you. Thank you for those concerns. I would echo that on behalf of not only ourselves, but Senator, the senator that's had the complaint here. I mean, this is, you know, without him even putting out for RSVPs until now, we're talking November, December until this date, and he hasn't even taken enough interest in that. I think the whole Senate would like to see something move forward here. Senator Hayden certainly should be concerned about the foot dragging or whatever is going on. I just can't understand why they haven't at least gotten this to go forward. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff, and the senator's kind of hanging out here on the limb for the answers and that we requested. So I would strongly urge you, Madam Chair, to make that very clear to Commissioner Rothman, because this could be, you know, not necessarily could be, but could be any one of those 67 senators out here. So we should be more, hopefully more considered than that. The rest of the group feels, but that seems like almost a no response.
Well, as Senator Lori mentioned, and I mentioned a minute ago, I will see him tomorrow, and it's a good opportunity to ask about it. So I will certainly do that and communicate with the rest of the committee. I'm surprised too that we haven't heard from him, and it's only because we've been distracted with what's going on at the legislature that we haven't really followed up on why we haven't heard from him. So just moving right along, as I explained, this is a procedural issue only in terms of how is this complaint separate and distinct from the September 24th, 2014 complaint. Is it an independent complaint that should start a new proceeding, or, as I mentioned before, is it merely a rehashing of the original complaint? There's no oath. We're not doing any oaths today. We're not taking any testimony about underlying facts. So let's start then with Senator Hahn, and if Senator Thompson wants to comment as well, and please tell us, and we have both complaints, what is new and different in the recent complaint?
Well, Madam Chair, and I guess first I am a little confused. This is not a probable cause hearing. Is that correct?
We can, Senator Hahn, except before we do that, we have to really determine if this is an independent complaint. We have a complaint in front of us, in front of the committee, from September 24th, and we have a process that we voted on to wait for the audit from the Commerce Department. And so if coming in with a new complaint, Senator Hahn, we need to know if this is, you know, an identical complaint or similar complaint to the original complaint, then, you know, is it proper to bring in a second complaint that's the same as the first complaint? That's why I want to have this procedural discussion first, because it seems to me that if you have more details and more information about the first complaint, then amending that complaint might be a possible route rather than introducing a brand new complaint. But perhaps there's new things in this complaint that I'm not seeing in my reading of it. And I did send out a letter a week ago to everyone saying that that is what we had to determine first, the procedural matter, before we can have a probable cause hearing.
Well, and Madam Chair, I read the letter, and that was my sense that you were asking for a committee meeting that was – I was trying to understand what that was. I took this not to be a probable cause hearing. And I guess the only thing I would say that in reading the Senate rules, 55.3, that says the subcommittee shall investigate a complaint made in writing by a member of the Senate under oath, which has been done. A member of the Senate under oath filed a complaint. And then 55.4 says that within 30 calendar days of receiving that complaint, the subcommittee must meet and then make — it gives very specific things that the committee should do — is either make a finding of no probable cause, vote to defer action to a certain date, or proceed, find probable cause and proceed with its investigation. So the option that we're here doing today doesn't seem to fit into any of those three things. I guess to your point, if this is a new complaint, if the committee believes it is not a new complaint, they could vote to dismiss it and argue that it's essentially the same complaint as the previous one, so therefore they could dismiss this complaint as being just a repeat of the first complaint. Now, we don't think that's warranted. In fact, in the document that you have, we have a number of statements. We've numbered them, and then we have the specifics of the complaint that is lines 25 through 31 of the list in your document. And all of those but one deal with charges with respect to Senator Hayden's testimony in the last hearing. So those are things that could not possibly have been included in the first complaint. And so if you as the chair are suggesting that this is a duplicative complaint, I don't know how that could possibly be the case, since the things that we're charging in this complaint are things that happened at the last hearing. It, in my mind, is clearly not the same complaint, but if the committee wishes to convene and have a hearing and make the motion to dismiss this because it's duplicative or essentially the same as the first complaint, then that's certainly proper. But I guess I'm just not clear on what you're asking the committee to do. It is a complaint filed under Senate rules validly. Documents complaint having to do with the false and misleading testimony that happened in the last committee hearing, which clearly could not have been a part of the first complaint. And all I think we're asking is that the options listed in Senate rules for this committee to meet within 30 days and make a determination of either to dismiss it or defer action to a certain time or investigate and find probable cause. One of those three things needs to be done. I don't know that there's a lot of debate about procedure that we need to have.
Well, Senator Hand, then I just would like to suggest that you proceed with telling us what are the new charges, what are the new issues in your complaint. And I think we have a couple of questions before we have you do please. That. Senator Lowry.
Quickly, what was the date of the second hearing that we had on the first complaint?
Madam Chair and members, that was November 5th.
Because, Madam Chair,
Senator Lawrence,
each of these statements predates November. So, I mean, they properly were before us on our second hearing. And, I mean, I understand that Senator Han may want to draw conclusions about issues that we're not done dispensing with at this point. But these statements all were made before the second of our hearings, where the entirety of this set of facts and circumstances was before the committee. And so to say that it wasn't, I mean, the timing is kind of off there.
Well, let's take a comment from Senator Ingebrigtsen, and then we'll go back to Senator Hand to finish his.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have a question for legal advice here. So, according to the rules, we as a committee are called together to answer to a complaint, to find probable cause. Do you look at this document here? I mean, is this ruled a complaint here, or are we? What are we procedurally wise, Madam Chair? I think you have the charge of actually following through here with a actual complaint hearing. And this is something, you know, I've been involved since I've been here 9 years. I've never seen anything here to discuss the issue to determine whether it's a complaint or not. Is that clear? Am I being clear here? Isn't it the chair's total responsibility according to rules?
I think he's asking Mr. Bowden. Yeah.
Madam Chair and Senator Ingebrigtsen, I think the chair's letter to the members of the subcommittee frames the issue, and it's a matter for the subcommittee to determine whether or not a complaint has been properly submitted.
And Senator Lowry.
And so, Madam President, I mean, I guess the question is, you know, as I read these rules, and I've read them several times now, they're not terribly prescriptive about how we operate. And so there's a great deal of latitude for our committee in deciding how to decipher these rules. And, I mean, I guess the broader question is, do we think it's fair to do to a member to take an open complaint that we're waiting on, you know, parallel investigations to conclude? Do we think it's fair to take that same set of facts and circumstances and reform it to a second complaint to bring the same matter up again on a procedural matter? Do we think that that's fair when it's and a fair interpretation of the rules? Because, you know, we could leave here today and you could do a third and a fourth and a fifth, and we could be here forever under that interpretation of the rules. And I don't think that's fair to do to any member of the Senate. I mean, I think we have an open complaint. We have a apparently, and from reading these materials, four or five, depending on how you read them, other investigations going on about these facts and circumstances. For us to spin up a sixth is a kind of big undertaking, and there's disagreements with these other investigatory bodies that are looking into this. The receiver said that they agree with some of DHS's findings, but not all. I mean, I think for us to get in here, and I think procedural is the right approach to this. Is it really a fair characterization of our rules that you can take a second bite at the apple, as it were, and force us to continue having hearings over and over on the same underlying set of facts and circumstances?
Well, let's go back maybe to Senator Hand, Senator Thompson, because I did ask them to tell us are there new underlying issues in the second complaint that would distinguish it from the first complaint? And if you could identify those, and then we'll go to Senator Hayden, just to move this along.
Well, and Madam Chair, I think the first complaint had to do with some allegations of improper perks and other lack of attention paid by a sitting member of the Senate who was asked to serve on a nonprofit board. And during that hearing, there were statements made and by Senator Hayden to the effect that those things never happened. What the new complaint does is, first of all, it brings incontrovertible proof that those things did happen. And given the fact of Senator Hayden's testimony in the original two hearings on this matter where he denied that they happened, that has brought the substance of the second complaint, which is that he provided false and misleading testimony to this committee. And that is the new charges, if you will, center on that fact, that it's one thing to say, well, we think there's an issue with the conduct Senator Hayden displayed as a board member. The committee said, well, we need to wait for an audit. I remember at the time, Senator Lori, you had asked on a number of occasions that there was no proof, that there were things in the audit that made statements, but they were general in nature. So in the second complaint, what we did, we filed a Freedom of Information request in the interim, and we got the document that shows, in fact, that the Community Action of Minnesota did pay for a trip that Senator Hayden participated in. It's a matter of fact. It's not a matter of interpretation or debate. And given that fact, his testimony in the last two hearings on this matter where he denied that that was the case is the substance of this complaint, that he gave testimony to this committee that was false and misleading. That's why my point is that could not possibly be a part of the first complaint because he hadn't given any testimony until we actually got to the hearing.
Senator Thompson, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
You can go ahead to Senator Lori first.
Senator Lori, a question for Senator Hand?
A question for counsel, actually. I mean, I think that, you know, statements of Senator Hayden is properly categorized as, you know, the demeanor of the witness and how much candor was provided as we worked through the first complaint. And I think in my recollection of going through prior ethics committee hearings, that's been a matter of consideration for the ethics committee before, and always before, that's been a factor to be considered at the juncture when if discipline is decided as warranted by the committee, candor of the witness during the testimony is a factor that's weighed in the proper actions of the committee. It's not the basis of a new complaint when we still don't have all of the underlying facts from the first complaint. And I would just ask counsel if that's a proper read. That's how I've read the way the subcommittee has handled these matters in the past.
Mr. Bodden.
Madam Chair and Senator Lori, I did review some of the more recent cases the subcommittee has handled and came across the discipline imposed on Senator Sams, Senator Della Sams, in 1999, and would direct you to the Senate Journal for 1999, page 130, which provides findings imposed initially by the subcommittee on ethical conduct and ultimately adopted by the Senate. Findings 14 and 15 relate to what you're talking about, Senator Lori. Paragraph 14 noted that Senator Sams gave conflicting and confusing testimony with respect to when he knew that his payment had come from state appropriated funds and when he signed his letter of agreement. Paragraph 15 noted that Senator Sams' conduct in attempting to conceal the payment to avoid negative political perceptions was unethical and improper and brought disrepute to the Minnesota Senate. Paragraph 16 noted that his testimony to the subcommittee failed to meet the level of candor, thoroughness, and accuracy expected of a state senator. What I will add here is that none of these allegations were included in the complaint that was submitted to the subcommittee in the first instance.
Senator Thompson?
Yeah, Madam President, it seems to me
you can call me Madam Chair.
That's right. Old habits, right? Madam Chair, it seems to me that based upon your letter, we're here to decide one simple thing. Is this complaint substantively the same as the first complaint from September of 2014?
Right.
This complaint alleges behavior that had not occurred at the time the first complaint was filed. So not only is it alleging a different set of facts and circumstances as the basis for the complaint, the allegations could not have existed in September of 2014 because the conduct hadn't happened yet. So if your question is this substantively the same complaint, the answer is no. Conduct is alleged that had not yet taken place at the time of the first complaint.
Senator Hand, could you point out in your your complaint what are the new accusations?
Well, and Madam Chair, I can certainly read through. You've got a document that has 31 points to it. There are a number of statements that refer to testimony in the first couple of pages of the complaint that quote statements that Senator Hayden made. For example, point number 5, he's testifying under oath, and there's a statement of Senator Hayden. Number 6, Exhibit B of his documents on the hearing talked about no personal gain, no per diem, no cash payments. So we list those as facts because they're clearly not debatable. And then what we suggest later is that our rules prohibit members from publishing, distributing written material that a member knows or has reason to know are false or misleading. And that is the substance of the complaint, that those statements under oath at the last hearing were false, were misleading, were untrue. And we think that behavior, as Senator Thompson said, is unethical by Senate rule and could not be a part of the first complaint because they hadn't occurred at the time of the first complaint.
But Senator Lori, and then we're going to move to Senator Hayden.
So, but we have all of the underlying facts and circumstances, the CAM activity, the audits by Commerce and DHS, and now the receiver, and the receiver has led us to believe also from the FBI and the IRS. All of that was properly before the original complaint. I mean, the candor of the witness, the thoroughness and the veracity of the questions answered and the responses we got are properly before us in the first complaint. All of that material, as Mr. Bodden walked us through, is part of the processing of that first complaint. There's not a new set of facts and circumstances. There's testimony that was offered during the review of those of the same underlying facts and circumstances, and we will weigh the testimony that we got as well. I mean, we have five other investigations going on. We don't need a sixth to try to get to the bottom, which we won't be able to, of any of these allegations. We need to make sure that we have the proper factual basis upon which to make proper decisions.
Madam Chair and Senator Laurie, I think one of the things in the last set of hearings we had on this matter, there was an audit that we had. There were statements made about behavior of board members that I think, as you pointed out, they don't specifically refer to Senator Hayden, and they didn't. I had gotten verbal testimony, if you will, from one of the investigators that named Senator Hayden. I offered that testimony under oath, but we did not have any document that was demonstrating that Senator Hayden was one of the people that accepted inappropriate or unauthorized perks. And so one of the things, again, with this complaint and the reason for the second complaint is we have that document. It's in the packet. It shows a payment by Community Action of Minneapolis for a trip to New York of Senator Hayden and his wife. That's not debatable. That's a fact. It's in the packet. And because his testimony at the last hearing, the last two hearings, explicitly denied those things, what we're saying is you have before you prima facie evidence of facts that were testified to under oath as not being the case. We think that is, and that is, the basis of this ethical complaint.
Senator Laurie.
And the facts and the statements are before us in the first complaint. It's all on the record in the first complaint. This is not anything new. And as if when you get behind the Exhibit H that you submitted, I mean, the receiver has a lot of questions still, that are outstanding. I mean, I think to try to come to a resolution on any of this before we have the complete understanding is unfair to a member. I mean, in either way. Like, if we were to undertake to find Senator Hayden, exonerate his behavior, and later find that these investigatory bodies found something culpable that we didn't, that would be a terrible place to be in as a Senate. If, on the other hand, we were to find culpable actions on behalf of Senator Hayden ahead of these other investigations, and they were to exonerate him, that would be an even worse place for the Senate to be in. I mean, this isn't the work that we undertake on a daily basis. We have five other entities that are incredibly skilled at this work that are reviewing it, and we've got a commitment to come back and undertake this effort with more of the facts laid out in a manner in which we'll be able to take much more appropriate action.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Laurie made essentially two arguments. I'd like to take them in reverse order. The second argument was, it wouldn't be appropriate to make all these findings. That's not what we're asking for. We're asking for a hearing on a complaint that Senator Hahn has proven has different allegations than the first complaint. We're asking for a hearing as the rules require. The other argument that Senator Laurie made, if I understood it correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, was that the veracity, the truthfulness of Senator Hayden's testimony in the prior hearing can be a part of the assessment of the overall claim. That's true. But that doesn't mean that if facts reveal that those statements were misleading, that those misleading statements can't be the subject of another action, to use an analogy to a court hearing. A witness's credibility and truthfulness is judged in a particular hearing, but they can also be charged for perjury out of that same action. So Senator Laurie is right. Credibility and the statements that Senator Hayden has made are a part of what goes into judging the first complaint. But if the facts reveal that there's a legitimate basis, which I believe our complaint demonstrates, that those statements may have been misleading, that is also the basis for a separate complaint. This is a different complaint. And my understanding, Madam Chair, is that was what you were trying to decide here today.
Okay, then I'd like to move to Senator Hayden or Mr. Nauman on his behalf. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee. I'm Charlie Nowen. I represent Senator Jeff Hayden. On behalf of Senator Hayden, I request that this complaint be dismissed. Its allegations are intrinsically intertwined with what was presented to this committee in September of 2014, both at the hearing in October and the hearing in November. They are part and parcel, if you will, of the same exact set of facts. It's not something different. It's allegations about something that's the same. And under those circumstances, and certainly in my arena in the court, but in any circumstance, and certainly under these rules, it can all be considered at the appropriate time, but not now. Now is not the appropriate time, because it's all part of what was, it's allegations made by Senator Hand, Senator Thompson, about what occurred in relation to this exact same set of facts. Now, Senator Hands and Senator Thompson's self-described new information and complaint is really nothing more than a rehash of what was discussed 6 months ago. Senator Hand is relying on newspaper articles, some before the September complaint, some after, but still just secondhand newspaper articles. He also is relying on what I will call a mischaracterization of statements made by Senator Hayden, and for that matter, me, in the hearing in October. They are his arguments and his mischaracterization, or at least his characterization of what was said and how it should be interpreted. And it also relies on misleading and out-of-context information in order to draw certain conclusions. Now, that's my interpretation of what, and that's why I believe this complaint should be dismissed, because at some point in time, this committee will be able to deal with all of that, because it's all about the same set of circumstances. Like I say, it's intrinsically intertwined with the same set of circumstances. And on November 5th, 2014, this committee, without you, Senator Kiffmeyer, but with your predecessor, decided on a 4-0 vote, unanimous. You would wait for the investigation until the Department of Commerce investigation was complete and then do that within 30 days. And, of course, as we've heard today, not only is that investigation not complete, but as Senator Loria said, there's other investigations, including one by the receiver of the Community Action Minneapolis. Now, Madam Chair and members of the committee, I am troubled on behalf of my client about potential confusion, duplication of effort, and the unfairness of this repetitive political attack. It's in the middle of the stream, if you will. There's all the investigations going on, and we hear the characterization by the complainants about what some statements at the hearing meant and must have meant and what they could have meant. But that's all that is. That's just argument. Where, in fact, this committee, after hours, we were all here for hours in October and November, made the decision that that the committee would wait until all the facts are in order to be able to assess the circumstances and the facts of this matter. And obviously that hasn't occurred. Now, it would be confusing and duplicative and unfair to now proceed and try to pick out some facts, say that they are undisputed when we don't know what the findings are going to find, and then argue that statements made about some of those during the session was somehow a lie or false testimony. That would be unfair. And it certainly wouldn't be consistent with what this committee decided unanimously on November 5th, 2014. I've looked through all the allegations in the April 13th, 2015, I'm sure is meant, complaint, and really all it is, and I respectfully disagree with Senator Thompson. It is just and an interpretation of what occurred. It's not something new. It's part of the same thing. If there were a new matter, if one of your fellow senators had a matter A, and then there's suddenly there's matter B, that might be a different circumstance. But when this is all part of the same set of facts about community action, Minneapolis, it is proper to dismiss this complaint. And I'm not saying that these issues can't be raised at a later point in time if they're pertinent once all the facts are decided. I'm just saying this is not the time. So I ask on behalf of my client, Senator Hayden, that this committee dismiss this improper refiling and reinterpretation of what is already in front of this august body, and instead wait for the investigations to be complete and see what the facts really show, see what the facts really find, see how this is all analyzed by those people who make it their profession to analyze the facts and to audit the facts and to audit the finances and to find out what the whole picture is. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee.
Are there any questions from the subcommittee of Mr. Nowen? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
No, Madam Chair, I have no questions. Okay. I just have a motion that I'd like to make here. It seems like we're getting nowhere, so I'd like to make a motion.
Okay. It's always proper to make a motion.
Yes, make a motion that
Okay, any discussion among the committee members on that motion? Senator Laurie.
So what would the practical effect of this motion be?
So the proposal by Senator Ingebrigtsen is to treat the April 13th, 2015 complaint as an amendment to the first complaint. And is there any discussion on that? Senator Laurie.
So what would the practical effect of that be? Where would we go this evening? I mean, we on the first complaint, we adjourned, as Mr. Nowen said, 4-0, saying we should wait for the results of the parallel investigations.
And my interpretation would be that, but Senator Ingebrigtsen, then would your interpretation of that motion be that we're back to our original proposal and that we convene once Commerce has finished their audit? Then we have
Madam
to
Chair,
reconvene.
Madam Chair, you've convened this meeting to determine whether we are to move forward with a complaint here or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, I'm sorry, the testimony seems to be leaning in the direction that this is not a complaint.
This is an amendment to the first complaint, is your motion.
That is
so you'd like this to be treated as an amendment to the first complaint. So we're back where we were before with our motion to wait.
So this is being recognized as a complaint, Madam Chair.
As an amendment to the first complaint.
That's correct.
All right. Is there any discussion on the proposal to treat the April 13th, 2015 complaint as an amendment to the September 24th, 2014 complaint? Senator Hand, Senator Thompson, any response to this, or Mr. Nowen?
Well, Madam Chair and members of the committee, we could have submitted this as an amendment to the original complaint, but for reasons that were already stated, we provided documents in the new complaint that contravene directly the testimony of Senator Hayden during the last hearing. We think that constitutes a separate issue, and we filed a complaint based on that. So we think it's a separate complaint, and we think that this committee should call a hearing to determine probable cause or dismiss that complaint.
Okay, and Mr. Nowen?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I think I understand the motion of Senator Ingebrigtsen to be that it will be an amendment to the earlier complaint, and then it will be treated as this group decided unanimously November 5th to be heard within 30 days of completion of the investigation. If that understanding is correct, that's really all I have to say or ask, I guess.
That's my understanding.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, on the Ingebrigtsen motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Well, I've not seen people vote against their own motion, but it's okay. Then we are at the moment, the point of the agenda. What? Oh, I'm sorry. The motion fails on a 2-2 vote. Okay, we're back to number 5, which is subcommittee deliberation. Is there any other discussion from members of the subcommittee or any other motions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Laurie.
I would leave anyone to file these as an amendment to the second complaint, but I don't believe this lays out the basis of a new complaint that we ought to handle separately. So I would move that we dismiss the April 13th, 2015 complaint.
Okay, discussion on that motion?
Senator President, Madam Chair. May I ask a question?
Senator Hahn.
I guess I would object to, if we haven't had a probable cause hearing, and if that's not what the purpose of the hearing is, I'm not sure it's proper for the committee to dismiss a complaint. It says under the rules that you have to call a hearing to do one of those things, but that's not what this hearing was called to do. So we were not, and frankly, didn't go through and present our case, if you will, and we are not under oath, and so we haven't had testimony under oath about the complaint itself, so I think it would be improper to dismiss it without having first a hearing to take that matter up.
Well, Senator Hahn, I did ask you to talk about what new issues there were in the complaint that were different than the first complaint, and you did explain those. And the conversation then was that all those things were still relevant to the first complaint and could be addressed with the first complaint. So. This is a procedural hearing to see if there's anything new. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
So, Madam Chair, are we now looking for a probable? Are we now judging the complaint for a probable cause hearing here, or are we still working on this, what we should do with the complaint issue that your letter addresses on the 21st?
We're still discussing this as a procedural hearing, that whether this is proper to have a second complaint that's very, very similar and involves the same issues as the first complaint, if that's proper or not.
And
Madam Chair, has not the procedures been followed according to the Senate rules by the complainants here? Maybe that's a question for legal.
Well, I think that's a good question, that I would have advised them to amend the first complaint as your motion was, as being the more proper way to go.
And
I think Mr. Bonner was already asked that question.
Madam Chair, I don't want to be argumentative, but then that should have been your decision, but your decision is to bring it here and have us make that decision. Is that what we're doing? You have the authority to make that decision.
Well, I don't. I don't have the authority to make that decision. That would have been my advice. And it's important to seek advice from the subcommittee anyway. So that's what I'm here to do, is seek advice from the subcommittee. Senator Laurie.
And again, Madam Chair, I think it bears repeating one of the earlier points that I made, that the rules are actually fairly brief and not terribly prescriptive. I think it is to us to decide, are we going to allow members to take a second and a third and a fourth bite at the apple around the same set of underlying facts and circumstances? If that's how you're suggesting we interpret these rules, to allow members to continually reformulate new complaints around the same sets of facts and circumstances, and require this committee to get together within 30 days after each of these new constitutions of the same set of allegations, I said this last time, we could be spending a lot of time together. And I don't think that serves the Senate well. I think that the chair's asking about the proper procedure and the proper way, to give guidance on how to interpret these rules is a very important job for us. They're not terribly prescriptive. We have a lot of leeway on how to apply these rules. And I think out of fairness to members, when a complaint is around the same set of facts and circumstances, we ought to keep the issue around the same original complaint. And I say that in all sincerity. And
On the motion to dismiss the second complaint, Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam President. Your letter was very clear. It is my intention to limit the agenda for the April 27 meeting of the subcommittee to the consideration of this issue. Does the 2014 complaint affect the subcommittee's ability to proceed with further consideration of the 2015 complaint? The committee has already ruled on that. A motion was made on that issue, and it was defeated. So now the question becomes, where do we go from here? With all due respect to Senator Lurie, he is right. In many ways, there is discretion. But Rule 55.3 says the subcommittee shall investigate a complaint made in writing by a member of the Senate under oath, which we have, which has been determined by this committee not to be attachable as an amendment to the previous complaint. Given that set of circumstances, 55.4 says within 30 calendar days after receiving a complaint, the subcommittee must meet and either make a finding of no probable cause, vote to defer action, or proceed with the investigation. So if, in fact, and Senator Lurie's pointed out that, well, this seems to be arising out of the same set of circumstances, that is a part of what the probable cause hearing would be for. But today you asked this committee to decide, is this substantively the same complaint as was filed back in September? And the committee just decided no. So in my view, the rules require the normal hearing within 30 days.
On the motion to dismiss the complaint members of the committee, and then we'll hear from Mr. Nowen. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems as though, from what I understand of these rules, that it would be inappropriate at this time to vote on a dismissal because we have not had a hearing on the issue.
Mr. Nowen, comments on the motion to dismiss?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I believe this committee could vote in favor of dismissal because under the rules, if this is simply a complaint that's part and parcel or the same thing as it already is pending in front of the committee, then it's not proper to be brought again here. I mean, it's another way, in essence, to describe what this committee has been discussing for the last hour or so. So in those circumstances, it seems entirely appropriate. Doesn't mean that these facts can't be brought up again at a later point in time, just as inappropriate here because there's a pending complaint on the same subject matter.
Senator Thompson, I just wanted to respond to something you said earlier on 57.3, that the committee shall investigate a complaint. Now, it doesn't say the same complaint over and over again, nor does it say a new complaint. But I think you'd have to use kind of common sense here, that it just doesn't make sense that the committee shall investigate the same complaint over and over again. It's kind of implied that the complaint would be a new complaint. So the argument here, is this a new complaint? Or, as Senator Ingebrigtsen moved a few minutes ago, is it simply more information involving the first complaint? So then an amended complaint, which the committee rejected, would be appropriate. But I agree with Senator Lurie that I don't see how it, in any sense of fairness, you know, it's like that expression, you can't be tried twice for the same crime. What's that called?
Double jeopardy.
Double jeopardy. It's like double jeopardy. You know, and in this case, we're asking for an investigation of an ongoing, a separate investigation when there's already an open investigation. You know, it just doesn't, you know, when we think about, it just isn't logical.
Well, Madam Chair, you made a few points. I'll try to remember to respond to all of them. Double jeopardy, if you want to get into the world of criminal law, doesn't apply until there's been a trial and a conviction.
I understand. It was a broad statement.
Nothing's happened here yet in terms of the original case. Secondly, the committee may determine at some point, based upon all of the evidence, that this is a similar complaint, but on its face, it is not the same complaint, and by definition, it cannot be the same complaint because it is based upon information that the complainants did not have at the time the original complaint was filed and could not have had because it occurred subsequently. And in terms of, you know, does this attach as an amendment to the earlier complaint because it's substantively the same, the committee has already made its decision on that, and their decision was no.
Mr. Nowen, did I ask you to comment on the dismissal?
Yes, you did. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Senator Loy, you know, when you talk about we could be here many, many times in many different occasions, you know, this has been lingering now and co-lingering for some time, much to the chagrin of the members sitting here. And by the way, welcome to the new member. Sorry to put you into this right away, but this has been going on for a long time. And you know, I made it very clear in the last meeting that Senator Hayden could comment on this. He chose not to. So to a certain degree, you know, this idea that we're co-lingering this or doing something to keep this going forward, and we should be careful because, you know, we get into some heated debates in the Senate, and there could be lots of complaints drawn up here. We could really be busy. That's not happened. It just doesn't happen. That isn't what the Senate does. What we do like to do is get rid of issues like this, get them resolved one way or the other. And I think that was made very clear by myself to Senator Hayden in the last meeting. He could do that, and he chose not to. So for you to say that we're sitting here continuing this and moving along, I would like to see an end to it. I don't think Chair Pappas wants to sit here all summer. I mean, I guess I'm questioning what's going to happen if this is voted down now. Where are we going to go from here with this? This is not a probable cause hearing.
Senator Loy.
So, Madam Chair, Senator Ingebretson, out of a sense of urgency and expediency, you'd jump ahead of five other investigations and jump ahead of the facts that will be before us and pass judgment on a colleague today?
Madam Chair, are we going to make a probable cause decision today off of this letter from the chairman that we were here to have this discussion, this informal discussion? I don't think so. I don't want to do that.
I think we have to have an agreement whether this is a new complaint or not. And if we do say this is a new complaint, then where does that leave the first complaint, since there's so obviously there's overlapping issues? There's nothing new other than statements that were made by Senator Hayden that the complainants call into question. But so I don't understand. If we don't resolve this, then second complaint, and we come up with the same suggestion or a similar suggestion as the last complaint, then Senator Hand, Senator Thompson, are you going to come back a month from now and do a third complaint that's on the same issue? You know, I mean, this could go on forever and ever if we don't have a decision that you can't do that. You can't. It's not proper procedure to keep issuing the same complaint over and over again. I think Senator Loy is next, and then Senator Thompson.
I mean, I'd like to take a vote on my motion to dismiss.
All right, any more discussion on the motion to dismiss? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so the agreement then is that it is a proper complaint, otherwise a motion to dismiss a complaint. But the situation as I see it here is that you talk about the underlying facts, some of those things. But what's at stake here is telling the truth. That is the nature of this second complaint. It is about that one thing and that one thing only. The fact that those previous things that were stated on the record under oath were not true, as by facts shown as well, after a second probable cause hearing, which is the only way you could even compare those two. You had to have both of them happen before you could possibly even have this complaint come forward. And so that is how I look at it. It is, when you talk about rehashing, not at all. The only thing before us in this second complaint, separate distinct complaint, is about telling the truth or not. And the complaint establishes that. And that's what's before us in that complaint.
Well, Senator Kiffmeyer, there's lots of things in here that were in the original complaint. It's not just the three or four sections that had to do with his testimony under oath. And I think the counsel talked about how the precedent was with Senator Sams when the committee decided that during under oath he gave misleading and conflicting statements. That was part of then the outcome, the resolution of it. It was part of how it was resolved. That was taken into effect, into into consideration by the committee. And so that certainly could happen again with the first complaint if it was determined that Senator Hayden didn't give proper information when we talk about how we're going to resolve it and what kind of consequences is the word I'm looking for. That could be taken into account. So let's kind of get back to the motion to dismiss. Anything more, Senator Lori? Okay, on the motion to dismiss, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. Motion fails. Are there any other motions before the committee? Senator Thompson's not on the committee. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, legal advice, Mr. Bono, where does it go from here? Is it the choice of the, according to the rules, the chairman has to move forward with this complaint? Because it still is a complaint within a 30-day period.
Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I think it's any committee chair's job to decide how the rule should operate, and the answer I'll give you is I think it's up to the subcommittee and the chair to determine how to apply the rules the subcommittee has.
Is there any other comments from any member on the committee? And Senator Kiffmeyer.
It seems to me, Madam Chair, that if it is not amended and if it is not dismissed, then it is a complaint that still needs to be acted on.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Madam Chair, and I agree with that. I think now it behooves you as the chair to make a decision, and we'll respect the decision that you make. But there is now a complaint before you, according to the Senate rules, and we would like this to be moved forward, or at least I guess that would be hopefully your determination here. You have some time to do that.
Just a minute. Okay, are there any other motions from any members of the subcommittee? Senator Kiffmeyer.
So will we await then a scheduling at the call of the chair?
I will take the discussion today on the procedural issues under advisement and be providing further information to the subcommittee. So we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, members. Mm-hmm.